are, there's some prediction that there could be snow on Saturday night. Obviously, the weather gets awful cold in Louisville, and there's some elements there. How much experience do you have playing in the snow? And
zero.
You've never done it.
Zero experience. I never got to play in the snow, except my first time seeing snow in Louisville. But we had a snowball fight, so that was totally different from playing in it. But yeah, that definitely would be my first time playing football in the snow Saturday. If it does, hopefully it don't.
No experience or not, Lamar Jackson better be ready, because, gentlemen, it is going to be cold in Buffalo on Saturday. Now, Lamar Jackson just got his first career playoff win, now looking to get number two, but going to have to do it against an impressive Buffalo Bills team. So, Stephen A., what do you think? It's going to be cold. You think Lamar is going to thrive, or is he going to struggle?
I want
to
hear from
Buffalo?
Max first on this. Max, I want you to help me out here. Forgive me. I want you to go first on this one. I want to hear what you have to say about this.
For sure. I think he's more likely to thrive.
Max, what do you think?
And I have two reasons. One's from the head, one's from the heart. From the head, I think for so long we're waiting to kind of fit everybody into this mold. And to set up the run, you have to be able to pass the ball. And come playoff time, if you're not a great pocket passer, you could be exposed and all of that. And I think I don't think it's impossible that a guy can win a Super Bowl playing as Lamar Jackson has normally played. I think he can do it. And that's from what I've seen Lamar do. He's beaten a lot of good teams. My question was, could he beat teams when the light shined the brightest? Not could he beat teams as the kind of player he was. You know, he beat Seattle. He beat a whole bunch of teams. Some of them were good defenses. At one point, Stephen A., remember, other than the Chiefs and the playoffs, he was something like 21-1 against the rest of the league in all other games, right? But the Chiefs, that's a game you have to win. The playoffs, a game you have to win. The Roethlisberger Steelers, who he lost against in his only matchup against Roethlisberger, that's a game you have to win if you're the Ravens. He loses those games. Can he win when the pressure's on? And I've seen him do it. And that leads to kind of from the heart thing. I think Lamar Jackson galvanizes a team. I think players like to play with him and have fun playing with him and want to support him. You see it the way that his teammates speak about him. They like him. They want to do well for him and with him. And when you look at Lamar's trajectory, first playoff performance, god-awful. He's very young. I mean, Lamar is still very young, but he was terrible in the first half. He was much better in the second half, but still not good enough. And his next playoff performance, the following year, last year against Tennessee, he was much better than he was even in the second half of his first playoff performance. Still not quite up to his standards, but much, much better. And now he just won his first playoff game against that same team that had beaten him. And he did it by coming through in high leverage moments, including passing the ball, but especially running the ball. I think the fact that we can see now, and I think the Ravens can also see, yes, we can win playoff games the same way we win regular season games. Lamar doesn't have to be forced to be something he's not. He has to make some key throws at times. That goes for any quarterback. But we can win playing the style we normally play with. I think buoys them. And whether or not they win the game, I think Lamar will thrive.
I watched the Buffalo Bills this year surrender 245 yards rushing to the Kansas City Chiefs. I watched them give up 188 one game and 145 another game against the New England Patriots, who primarily are about running the football. So they are susceptible to succumbing to the run. The Los Angeles Rams ran for 167 yards against them. I see all of that. I'm not worried about the cold. What I would tell you is that if there's snow on that ground, and it compromises your ability to gain traction in the run with that football, Lamar Jackson could be in some trouble. He could struggle. First of all, you got to remember, they've got the worst passing attack in football, okay? But they got the number one rushing attack. And the reason the Baltimore Ravens have the number one rushing attack is because of Lamar Jackson and his ability to run with the football, along with J.K. Dobbins and those boys. The point that I'm making is, if you're compromised in terms of your ability to run the football with traction, you got to remember how elusive, how evasive he is. It's not just speed, it's his elusivity. That's really, really what comes to play. And when I think about the inclement weather, I'm not thinking about cold, because he's played in cold before. I'm thinking about snow turning into ice and slippery spots on that football field, Max. And if that's the case, it's not just something that could compromise a defense. It's something that could compromise him running the football. So we got to be mindful of that. I anticipate that if there is snow on the ground and if the running ability is compromised in any way, Lamar Jackson is going to struggle. I don't think I would be saying this if the weather was going to be beautiful and what have you, because obviously that wouldn't be an issue. And as a result, I think that Lamar Jackson would just simply make plays with his feet as opposed to standing in the pocket like he did midway through the season and just absorbing sacks, as he eloquently stated. I don't see that happening, but I do think that the inclement weather, we've seen what conditions can get like in Buffalo in December and January throughout history, throughout NFL history, watching games in Buffalo. It's no joke up there, okay, in Buffalo, New York. I think this could be a problem for Lamar, and that's what I'm worried about.
Well, let me answer the points you're making specifically. I gave you general points about Lamar, the trajectory of his, of how he does in these kind of games and belief in him and all that. You're bringing up how inclement weather can affect the running game. I would bet more that it slows down defenders to the point where it makes it harder for them to catch up with Lamar. In other words, it has a proportional effect on the defenders who haven't been great against the run, as you pointed out, than the fastest land mammal, Lamar Jackson, right? So that's one. And the other thing is the Ravens have been hot recently. They've won a whole bunch of games in a row, 7 games in a row, and that's coincided with the weather getting colder. You know, and so some of those have been in warm weather locations. But I wouldn't simply dismiss Lamar's ability to affect the game with his legs because it could snow or it's cold. And then finally, Stephen A., even against Tennessee, when Lamar had to make throws, he made some key throws. You don't have to be the greatest passer in the world. But if you can come through when they need you to come through. And I've seen Lamar do that under pressure this year.
Yeah, I definitely see. Listen, we've seen Lamar do a lot of different things, but we can't ignore what we're seeing from the Buffalo Bills this year. They're a complete team. Think about it. They're the number 2 seed in the AFC for a reason. And even though their record spoke to that, even before, weeks before the season was done, we had talked about how this is the number 2 team in the AFC, even ahead of Pittsburgh. Even though Pittsburgh were 11-0, we didn't like what we were seeing. And then they lost Devin Bush, obviously, before that, and then lost Bud Dupree. And so we knew that their defense was going to be compromised in Pittsburgh, and then they had no running game all season long. So in light of that reality, we didn't expect much from them. But when we looked at Buffalo, and we looked at Devin Singletary, and then we looked at the ascension of Josh Allen, and we looked at Stephon Diggs being that stud who ended up with 127 receptions for like 1,535 yards on the season. We saw all of these things and we said, damn, wait a minute here. Plus, we look at their secondary and we know, listen, their record would have been even better if they didn't lose that Hail Mary to Arizona. Let's not forget that. And so I think about things along those lines and I say, okay, this is a game they would have won even despite when you look at Arizona and what Arizona did against them, Max. Arizona ran the football, ran for 217 yards that game. Kyler Murray being behind center has something to do with that. So again, Buffalo still was in a position to win just because they give up exorbitant amount of yardage to an opposing running game doesn't mean that they still can't win games. Baltimore needs to run the football effectively in order to win this game, and I'm worried about it because of the weather.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, we knew it was only a matter of time. The NBA implementing stricter health and safety guidelines in the midst of a breakout of positive coronavirus tests in close contacts. Oklahoma City Thunder guard George Hill has since questioned the logic to the protocol, saying, quote, "We want to play the game, but I don't understand some of the rules. We can sweat 48 minutes with the guy next to us for 48 minutes, but we can't talk to them afterwards. It makes no sense. I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24/7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing." Max, do you think the NBA should continue on its current path, or do they need to go to a bubble format immediately?
I think they should have gone to a bubble from the beginning. I think they should go as soon as possible. And I think inevitably they're going to be in a bubble, and it's a matter of when. And George Hill's comments I really don't like at all. Maybe they shouldn't be playing. You know, maybe the fact that we're playing sports is a reflection of failed leadership that acted like we could just plow through this pandemic. After all, when we originally shut everything down, the infection rate and the death totals daily were a tiny little fraction of where they are today. So we just kind of got used to it. And the tragedy, of course, is that there's a vaccine now, not totally available, but it's available to many, and they'll be rolling it out, and people will be vaccinated, and we will beat this thing. But it's not like a vaccine is a cure. You get this thing now, you can still die from it. It's never been about just protecting the players. It's about that we're all potential vectors for the disease. You don't wear a mask to protect yourself. You wear a mask to protect others. My mask protects you. Your mask protects me. It's not about, you know, when George Hill says, "I'm a grown man, I can go here and go. Yeah, okay, fine. But you're not being a good citizen. You're being irresponsible. And you are playing, and you are getting paid. So if there is no bubble, then what everyone has to accept, if you want to be responsible and get through this, is if it's an issue of, no, we can take personal responsibility, take it then. You can't have it both ways. If George Hill wants to get a paycheck, doesn't want to be in a bubble, and also doesn't want to follow protocols and be responsible, that makes no sense to me. And because I believe there are enough people, Stephen A., who feel as George Hill does, and you understand why, at a certain point you want to get back to your life. Because enough people feel like George Hill does, I believe the best course of action is to have a bubble like they just had, which was extremely successful. They had zero COVID cases during that time.
Max, please understand, I'm not disagreeing with a bubble. I totally understand that. I don't disagree with you, but let me tell you why I'm going to address it differently than you just did, because my mind is somewhere else. Again, I agree with you, the bubble, but my mind is somewhere else. Max, do you notice that you have heard a whole bunch of players and folks complaining about the safety protocols that have been instituted by the NBA? Max, Charlie, do you know of any situation or circumstance where you heard the players say, "Don't pay me"? Is there any player that came out, Max, and said,
check,
"Don't pay me"? Don't pay me. Has any of them said that? The answer is no. And this is why somebody like George Hill, who I respect and like, come on, man, stop. The reality of the situation is the NBA is trying to get as close as possible to saving its season. And we have to understand, and these players have to understand, and so many people have to understand, there are frontline workers, and I'm not talking about the health professionals, first responders. I'm talking about with these professional sports leagues. They're not the owners who have lawyers. They're not the players who have representation, player association representation. They just work for the teams. They work for the organizations. Who protects them? Okay, so you would think that being as responsible as you possibly can, you know, would come to the forefront of your mind because you're thinking about somebody other than yourself. When you got contact tracing and things of those nature that can endanger the lives of other people, you know, you got to pay attention to those kind of things. Some of these guys are not doing that. And I don't think that George Hill really gets what he's saying here, Because think about what, Max, when you leave work or whatever, where you at, Max? You home, ain't you? Ain't you home with your family? I know I am. Mm-hmm. The point that I'm trying to make is there's a whole bunch of us that can't go. We can't hang out. We can't socialize. There's a lot of things we can't do. As average, everyday American citizens, the things that were normal, it's not normal anymore. We can't do that right now. We got to get vaccinated. We got to make sure that, you know, you got to get those numbers down. You got to do all of those different things. The fact of the matter is the sacrifices that these players have to make where it appears a bit extreme is something that they brought on themselves. And here's the reason why, and I don't mean the COVID-19. I'm just talking about the circumstance. You don't want a bubble, right? So the NBA didn't give you a bubble. But they said, no bars, no lounges, don't be in crowds of people or whatever. In other words, you got your immediate family, people that you are around all the time. You got to stick to them, because when you invite new people into your circle, ultimately you could expose yourself, and then you could expose players. And as a result, games got to be postponed, if not flat out canceled. And it's going to compromise our bottom line, which is ultimately going to compromise your bottom line. George Hill is an intelligent young man. He's been around the league for a while. He understands this. Why are you acting like you don't? You know better. The reality is that this is the situation we all got to deal with. There's no way around it. Okay, if you want to have a season. So again, Max, I don't disagree with you about the bubble. What I would say is that to give them anything close to a level of normalcy for the regular season and then a bubble as the season wanes and we get to the postseason is something that I would be more in favor of. But that's assuming that players are exhausting the means and measures to exercise all the safety protocols necessary. If you're not willing to do that, then damn it, you deserve the bubble, or just come out and announce, you know what? You don't have to pay me. Because I have no problem with one single player that stands up and says, you know what? You can keep your money. You don't have to pay me. I'm just going to go home and chill with my family. I have no problem with that. But don't play and whine and moan while you collecting a check that most people would never get under normal circumstances, let alone in an environment where 40-plus million people have been furloughed, 20 million jobs have been lost, and people out there struggling and starving. And we got food lines in the United States of America. People are standing on food lines miles long because they don't have a job and they don't have the means to feed themselves and their family. You cannot come out and say this kind of stuff publicly when you are in that privileged position, when all it's calling is for you to be sensitive enough and make the necessary sacrifice for the betterment of the whole, not just yourself. You cannot do that, George, or anyone who's thinking like George.
Hopefully, Stephen, as you said, this, you know, or alluded to, this is someone who's frustrated in the moment. Doesn't like to, no one likes to be told where to go, who to see, how to dress when you go outside. Nobody likes it. And it feels like it's an infringement on your, you know, liberty in a way. I understand. That's why I'm a grown man. I'm going to make my own decisions. So hopefully that's just an expression of frustration. That would be understandable. Presumably, George Hill is not one of these paranoid morons who doesn't, like, believe in the coronavirus, in COVID-19. He understands it actually exists, how it's transmitted, and the danger involved. And presumably also, he understands that what I said earlier, when you wear a mask, when you make those decisions, it's not about you and your health. You're protecting, my mask protects you, your mask protects me. The decisions we make protect each other. It really is a selfless behavior to wear a mask, but to socially distance. It's not about your own health. It's selfless. And of course, when, you know, that gets frustrating. Hopefully, Stephen A., he is simply expressing that frustration in the moment, and when he cools down, he will see the wisdom in following protocols.
George Hill, hold on, Charlie. George Hill, like most people in the NBA, especially the players, are really good dudes. But there's certain things you just can't say. And especially in this day and time, you can't say, quote, I'm going to do what I want to do. Because what you're saying is, to hell with everybody else. You cannot do that, George Hill. You better than that, bro. You cannot do that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, time for the latest in the Kyrie Irving soap opera. Let's break it down. Kyrie has been absent for four games now, not expected to be back in the lineup through the rest of this week. There was the going maskless at a family's birthday party. There also was a Zoom call last night. And you know, we had to bring in Kendrick Perkins to get his thoughts on this whole shebang. But Stephen A., we're going to start with you here because you had a lot to say earlier on in the show. Do you think Kyrie is worth all of this drama?
I do not. And I'm not talking about him as a talent because I think he's a superstar caliber talent. But Kendrick Perkins, just so you know, because you weren't here at the top of the show, I'm going to reiterate what I said in front of you at the top of the show, KP. I think Kyrie Irving should retire. Retire. Period. You don't want to play basketball. What the hell are you here for? I mean, the bottom line is that you are paid to play the game of basketball. And this is what people is missing, KP and Max. Here's what people are missing. Yeah, you're taking time off. Yeah, you might be docked some pay. But guess what, y'all? If I'm getting paid $33.4 million for this season, right, I might deduce that if I take off the next 5 or 10 games, right, then what that means is that, okay, I might lose some pay, but I'm going to still pocket about $25 million for the rest of the season. So it's almost like a vacation for you because you're taking time off, and even though you ain't getting paid, you can afford it. So it doesn't mean anything to you. You see what I'm saying? So that money that you're guaranteed, at least a chunk of it, is still going to be there for you. Meanwhile, you've said to the Brooklyn Nets, listen, y'all are not a priority. You said to your boy, Kevin Durant, you're not a priority. You said to Steve Nash, a coach you endorsed arriving, you're not a priority. You said to Sean Marks, who gave you 4 years, $141 million, all right? Then you showed up and only played 20 games. Kyrie Irving, until this season began, had not played since February 1st of last year. February 1st. And then he was out. He didn't participate in the bubble. Remember, the season was canceled March. He hurt his shoulder. He was out. So you didn't play since February 1st. You're off until the following December. And somehow, some way, you need time off because you've got personal issues. You have a job. You have teammates that are dependent on you. You got Brooklyn, New York, the starving to see you. You got championship aspirations. Kevin Durant is fresh off of playing, having missed 18 months because of an Achilles tear in the finals. And he comes back a year and a half later, and he's giving you 29 a game on 53% shooting, 44% from three-point range, but could use your help because when you're not there, it puts more of the onus on him to replicate things like what he did last night against Denver and closing them out with a 34-point performance and closing the deal against them. But it puts more on him. It doesn't matter to you. And why? Because of what's going on here in the streets of America and in the world. We respect where you're coming from with that because we know your heart's in the right place, Kyrie. I ain't trying to slip on that, throw shade on that by any stretch of the imagination. But what you're doing is clearly selfish and it's entitled because you don't, you know, you're going to have a job waiting for you whenever you in the mood to come back. You got that kind of mentality? It's time to go. I believe that Kyrie Irving should retire from the game of basketball until he's ready to come back and make it the priority he's paid to make it. Until then, he should retire, KP.
Let me say this. First, because he's taking the time off for personal reasons, Kyrie, I hope you're okay. I hope your family's okay. I hope your loved ones are okay. And whatever personal reasons, you get straightened out. That's the first thing. As a human being, I hope he's all right. And the people he loves are all right, you know? Second, the super talented don't always play by the same rules as everyone else. If Dennis Rodman missed the team bus or went to Vegas in between games, he'd get away with it because he grabbed 17 boards and helped you win championships, the Chicago Bulls years I'm talking about. Kyrie is a super talented player who puts on a show on a nightly basis. And so he has some leverage here because the fact is, particularly with Dinwiddie's injury, but even if Dinwiddie was healthy, this Brooklyn Nets team ain't winning a championship without Kyrie. Now, they might not win one with him either, and that might be his fault because you guys were telling me the whole time KD is still going to be just fine and da-da-da-da-da, and I was cautious. I wanted to see, but I've seen. KD is spectacular. He looks like KD to me. He had something like 12 dimes yesterday. Like, his passing game in the last several years of activity has been getting better and better. He's just the complete package. But KD can't do it by himself. And by the way, he has a nice supporting cast, LeVert and Allen and these guys. They ain't going to win no championship without Kyrie Irving. What it really comes down to is Kyrie going to be the dude who made the Celtics worse and then the Nets worse over the last couple years? Or is he going to be the dude who, when he's clearly not the best player on a team, when there's another dude as talented as him but a foot taller, like LeBron or KD, so he has to recognize, okay, I have to defer to that guy. When he's the second banana, can he help KD win a championship the way he helped LeBron? That's the question right now. But he has some leverage because, guys, if they don't bring him along, if they can't get him back into the fold, this Nets season can be successful, but they ain't going to challenge for a title.
Well, I say this, Stephen A. Max, look, both of y'all have valid and great points, and I can't disagree with either one of you guys' points, but I will say this, right? When you look at the situation with Kyrie and what he's doing right now, I was the first to react and tweet out and said, you know what? What we're going through in America right now, I support Kyrie 100%. I support any player that feel like they don't want to play or don't want to step on the court for a couple of games. Okay, cool. If that was the reason. But now, since things have transpired, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, is Kyrie worth the drama? Hell no. And if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm calling up the Houston Rockets today trying to trade him for James Harden. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. It messes up the chemistry. It messes up the flow. Steve Nash didn't even know he wasn't playing the night he decided not to the first game. That's a distraction to the ball club. That is a problem. And who's to say he's not going to do it again? Whenever Kyrie don't feel like playing, he's just not going to show up and not going to text anybody or call anybody or call anybody back. That's not the way to go. But on a further note, here's the problem that I have. We're dealing with a pandemic. People in the world are starving for jobs. If you have a job, you are in a great situation and you ought to be thanking God because you're blessed. Here it is, Kyrie has a job. He has a job that is paying him close to $35 million a year and you're not showing up to work. They have people losing money daily, cannot pay their rent. And then on top of that, you are the vice president of the Players Association, the vice president. And when I came on here a few months ago before the pandemic, when Kyrie was talking about when they was thinking about doing the bubble and he was saying, oh, I don't want to go to the bubble and we should not play and this, that, and the other. And I said, the blind is leading the blind. And this is why. You're at a family gathering party with no mask, diddy bopping, It's nothing wrong with it. While the league is trying to figure out ways to keep guys healthy, to be able to have enough guys to play games, while not to have to postpone games, and you're just being selfish. So if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm getting off of Kyrie ASAP, and it's not worth the drama. Because you need someone that's going to come in and at least know that he's committed to playing the game of basketball. And I know James Harden is being a distraction in Houston. I get that. But he wants out. The brother wants out. And he wants to come to the Brooklyn Nets. We all know this. So I'm saying, looking at last
Philly
night,
now.
Looking at the Houston Rockets. Well, Philly too. But I'm saying, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm calling about getting rid of Kyrie. And that's just period point blank.
Well, let me say this to you. It's Philly more so than Brooklyn now, KP. I found that out about 2 hours ago because of the Kyrie situation in Brooklyn. That's why James Harden would prefer Philly over Brooklyn right now. That's number one. Number two, I was talking to a couple of folks, a couple of high-ranking officials this morning, Max and KP, along with at least one owner and at least a couple of big-time agents. And they all echoed the same thing that somebody just texted me a little while ago. It says here, Kyrie might be close to ending his career because dealing with him is entirely too risky. He can't be trusted. They went on to say, nobody's bigger than the game. The train will head to the next station. And the Brooklyn Nets may have grounds to terminate his contract if he keeps this up. Period. Now, I want y'all to take that into consideration.
Wow.
The Brooklyn Nets could potentially terminate his contract because he's taking personal reasons. He hasn't articulated and elocuted what those personal reasons are. We've seen him on video and in photos violating league safety and protocols, therefore endangering the brand. He's come across as incredibly selfish and obviously really, really about himself and what he's thinking. He's been on the record calling folks peons, okay, because he's of a higher plane and a higher thinking than most of us. So, in other words, where he's coming from and where his intellectual capacity is, Max, and what he's thinking about and what's permeating his thoughts and his mind, it's so far above us right now. We can't really see the plane he's floating on. Meanwhile, he's in the midst of getting paid $33.4 million. It doesn't work. You got to give up something. So the challenge here is to say, Kyrie, and again, he doesn't have to give up his thoughts on the personal issues he wants to address or the issues that permeate our society. We should applaud him for that. All we're saying is you got to show up to work, too, like everybody else does. You can't sit up there and skip your responsibilities in order to address the concerns. You have to find a way to do both. And if you can't do both, I think we'd all respect Kyrie Irving if he sat up there and said, you know what? That would be selfish of me to sit up here and collect money from Brooklyn while I don't want to play. So, you know what? So I'm going to pass it up. I'll just retire from the game of basketball and I'll dedicate at least my immediate future, if not my life, to these issues that are so near and dear to my heart. He's not doing that. He's trying to get the money, too.
Let me say this, Stephen A. I would implore Kyrie, and I know he talks about how smart he is, and you've told me, and many people have told me how smart Kyrie Irving is.
He's not dumb.
I have yet to see evidence of it when he opens his mouth. However, maybe it is true, but I agree, his heart seems to be in the right place. Let me say this to Kyrie Irving. I would implore him to not do what you're suggesting, Stephen A., because I don't care how talented you are, and he's extremely talented. Skill and talent are different. Skill you must acquire. Skill takes years of practice and dedication, and you have to have passion to acquire the kind of skills that Kyrie's obviously spent a lifetime acquiring in basketball. I would urge you, Kyrie, not to throw that away, because you put in clearly too much work. And forget about just the economic benefits, the $30-plus million a year. The fact is it provides a platform. If you're interested in making real change, it helps you do that. And finally, guys, the physical prime is fleeting. You have the rest of your life. Not to say you can't also pursue that now, but the rest of your life to do everything else you want. This is the only time you have to do the thing that you've put in so many hours and such a huge percentage of your life building to this point. I would urge him, Stephen A., not to throw that away.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping that Kyrie can get it together in whatever way he needs to in order for Stephen A., like you just mentioned, his career to not come to an end. But let's talk about another guy who is ready for the next stop in his career. That would be James Harden. Now, he made it very public last night that he's ready to leave Houston. He was talking about the game last night. It was another consecutive blowout loss by the Rockets, this time to the Lakers. The Rockets now 3-6. Only the Timberwolves worse than them in the West. And James Harden went in on the team's play after the game. Listen.
We're just not good enough. We don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear. Like I said, these last few games, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally, have done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So. Yeah, thanks.
Max, how does this make Harden look?
Makes him look bad right now. First of all, how are you showing up fat in the NBA? I don't understand. You're not a center or something like that. You're a combo backcourt player with you're dribbling all day and running up and down the floor and improved defender. How are you? Like, even if you play basketball on a daily basis in a rec league, it's hard to be fat. That's impressive, as a matter of fact. That's number one. Number two, guys, he looks bad because even John Wall's coming out after that and saying, you're bailing after 9 games? We need everyone to, pulling in the same direction. Everyone knows Harden doesn't want to be there. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, guys. And Stephen A., you brought up Dwight Howard earlier, and I brought up Westbrook and Chris Paul. Harden thinks he wants to play with guys, and then after like a year, the other guy's like, even if he has a good relationship with him, like Westbrook does, I don't want to play with this dude anymore. This has happened time and again with Harden. So if you're another team looking at Harden, seeing he's a superstar, right, he plays on superstar level, you're thinking, do I want to mortgage the future to get this guy in here now? What if in a year or two, whoever we have here that makes this an attractive destination for him says, I don't want to play with that guy anymore. Now, it'd be one thing if I understand rolling the dice on that, if Harden was the type of dude who came through under pressure, like game 7 against Golden State. Only reason they got that far, because they were an undermanned team, even before Chris Paul got hurt. They got to a game 7 against the KD, Clay, Steph, Dre Golden State Warriors. Won 73 games, added KD. Nothing could stand in their way. But they played a game 7 in Houston. And Houston went 0 for 27 from 3 at one point. Still only lost by single digits. If Harden was the type of cat who got hot that night and got him past Golden State, then maybe some of these teams would be like, and the dude is clutch. He's going to deliver us a championship. Let's grab him. But they don't feel that way. And what you're seeing is teams unwilling to give the Rockets superstar compensation for Harden. So right now, what Harden looks like is a non-superstar on the trade market.
Max, I respect your opinions, and I don't disagree with you, but you're giving me your opinion. I'm trying to give you some information. I've been on the phone all morning. Here's what they're saying about Harden. He's given 50% effort. He's taken about 35% of the shots he normally takes. And because of that, his teammates, he's not getting along with them because he's made it very, very clear to them that he does not believe in them and that he doesn't want to play with them and he doesn't want to be there. He's considered somebody that's being good to the city of Houston because he loves H-Town. He's not being truculent with the organization per se or with ownership. But because of how he has reacted to his players, to the team, to the teammates, they don't appreciate it. And as of right now, they're pretty much done with him because they know he's done with them. As a result, Max, from what I'm being told, the Houston Rockets are strongly considering granting James Harden his request to let him sit out and not be with the team anymore until they're able to move him. They haven't made that decision yet. Maybe they have made it within the hour, or maybe they'll make it sometime today or tomorrow. But the situation has regressed to such a degree that as of right now, the Houston Rockets are contemplating as to whether or not they're going to let James Harden just stay home until they find a suitable trade in order to move him out of there. I think it's sad. I don't think he's handled this right. He's still averaging 24 and 10 on 44% shooting. He's still doing, I mean, that's only shooting 16 shots a game to show you how lethal he is. But I think it's a damn shame that Steven Silas, who waited 20 years as an African-American assistant in the NBA to get this opportunity, to be subjected to this. I don't think that makes James Harden look good in a lot of people's eyes, but I'm not going to completely absolve the Houston Rockets from this in this regard. They kind of created a culture. Mike D'Antoni is gone. That's his guy. Daryl Morey is gone. That's his guy. You should have moved him out, too. They didn't. He desperately wants out. And as a result, being a little bit overweight, taking 35% of his shots, giving 50% effort, although we all find that inexcusable, we also find it relatively predictable when a star tells you he wants the hell up out of there, and he told you before the season even began, and you did not grant him his wish. Again, I'm not absolving KP, James Harden, in any way. I'm just simply highlighting the situation for what it is right now. He wants to go to Philly. That would be his number one preference. Brooklyn would be number two, but the reason why Brooklyn isn't number one because Kyrie is causing problems up in Brooklyn. So Philly's his number one destination right now is preference. That's where we are.
Well, I tell you one thing. Look, if I'm James Harden and I'm the Houston Rockets right now, they have no choice. Because what he did yesterday, they have no choice but to send him home and let him stay home.
Yeah, he
did
it on purpose.
That's not a good thing for James Harden. That's not a good thing for James Harden because he might come back looking like me, all right? But that's the first thing. Second thing is, he's bogus as hell, Stephen A., and he's not bogus for asking for a trade. He's not bogus for wanting to go compete for a title, or he's not bogus for saying, you know, his time is up. He don't really want to be here in H-Town right now. I get that, but the number one rule, the number one locker room rule is, you can never throw your teammates under the bus. And that's exactly what he did last night. And with him going to the podium saying, we're not good enough, that's disrespectful to John Wall. That's disrespectful to Christian Woods. That's disrespectful to Eric Gordon. That's disrespectful
PJ
to,
Tucker.
To House, to PJ
Marcus
Tucker,
Cousins.
To everybody.
Yep.
That's basically saying I'm playing with a bunch of scrubs, and I'm not saying it to that nature because I think each and every one of those guys could play their tails off. You know, and they was playing this fine basketball before James Harden got back. So now you can't walk up into the locker room now because guys are giving you the side eye. These are still grown men at the end of the day that's not going to tolerate disrespect. And some things could transpire in that locker room that you don't want to transpire. We all know how Boogie get down. You know he's a guy that's going to speak his mind and you know, a fight go with it. So the best decision right now is to grant James Harden his wish and get him up out of Houston, but let him stay home. It's not good for James Harden because, like I said,
he's
going to come back looking like me, but it's cool.
He'd have to lose weight to look like you right now, Perk. This is why I told you guys over the last month, Harden had the leverage. This is what a superstar can do. He looks bad right now. There's no way to do it without looking bad. He looks bad right now, but he looks bad because the Rockets are not being offered superstar compensation for him. Remember when I told you, I told Fertitta directly, I sent open letter to Tillman Fertitta. You have to trade him now. You have to let everybody know we're trading him. Come with your best offer. We're not negotiating. We're going to take the best offer. That would have gotten Fertitta maximum value, optimal value for James Harden. The longer you wait, the worse it's going to be. He becomes an increasingly distressed asset. This is what I'm talking about. Guys, when a superstar tells a team, I don't want to play here anymore, the best thing they can do is pull the trigger on a deal. Because if he does what Harden's doing now, they're going to wind up getting less for him than they would have gotten.
I will say this real quickly.
But
Christian Woods is no scrub. He's giving you 22 a night. I think John Wall has looked better than I thought he would look. He's averaging 18 and 5 a game. Mm-hmm. Yep. John Wall, and he's only going to get better. John Wall is no scrub. John Wall can ball. And listen, Boogie is there. P.J. Tucker, oh, Eric Gordon, those boys are still there. He doesn't have a scrub team. But, again, we know he's mishandling this. We know why. And, KP, you're absolutely right. You can't throw your teammates under the bus like that. Can't do it. But he's doing it to force his way out. He's doing it to force the situation.
And I get that, but Max, listen, not all the time you have to grant a team has to do what the superstar says if they want out. We just watch Anthony Davis do the same thing, and the New Orleans Pelicans held out until they got everything back that they wanted. And Zion Williamson, the number one pick, Brandon Ingram. So that's not true. And guess what? The Houston Rockets is still gonna get a Ben Simmons or maybe a Kyrie Irving back in the deal.
No, so no what, Kyrie Irving.
Not losing.
No Kyrie Irving. Nobody's trusting him right now.
No, they won't.
All right, guys. Yeah, this whole situation is pretty crazy. It's pretty messed up too. But let's end the show on a positive note.
AD went up just where he wanted to be.
LeBron James did last night. He had 26 points, highlighted by this shot right here. No look. Three-pointer from the corner. It looked good, and guess what? It was all part of a bet. Perk, I know you saw it. Were you impressed?
Absolutely. That was the best highlight this season, and that highlight will be talked about for the next 20 years. He shot a three-pointer, turned around without looking to see if it went in, and told Dennis Schroeder, bet. Well, and the reaction that he got from the bench was everything. Like, you know, that was cold-blooded right there. That was cold-blooded.
Well, to me, what I peel away from it is how beautiful the players reacted to it. Because when we're talking about Kyrie and James Harden and what's going on with them, look at how the players support LeBron James.
Definitely
LeBron
a leader on their team. Tell you
like
one thing,
Bruce
though.
Leroy
I am not making
the last
like
dragon
that one.
Right
Guys,
now.
Good
He's
show.
Playing
See you
with
later.
These dudes.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.